Welcome to the perfect place for imperfect people. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
I just know that the presence of God is in this place. Spring forward or not, God's presence is with us. 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." This is Paul speaking to his young protege, Timothy, reminding him to actively participate in things that will grow his first love, to fan the flame, to rekindle the fire of his first love. And Church Femina, listen, I believe this is what the Spirit of God wants to do and begin in us today. I want to welcome you to the local church, the perfect place for imperfect people to experience the presence of God. Whether you're here or at home at Everglades Correctional, the presence of God is with us. And today we are starting a new teaching series called Reignite, to rekindle that fire like Paul was telling Timothy. I want to start with a story, a little bit of my history. The end of this month, my wife and I will be celebrating 16 years of marriage together, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I can remember when we first started dating. Can anyone remember that far back into your relationship? Do you remember? Or maybe you're not dating someone or married someone now, but can you remember the first time you fell in love? Like how you felt? How you always wanted to be around that person, how you couldn't get enough of being in their presence. Whether you grew up with, you know, messengers or cell phones, or you had a rotary phone with a cord connected to it. I think this is a consistent thread throughout the relationships. This idea of, you hang up first. You remember that? You hang up first. No, I love you. I don't want to say goodbye to you. You hang up first. No, no, no. I would never hang up on you first because you're my world. And this is what my wife and I did. Like, I loved being around her. I had puppy dog eyes every time I was in her presence. And then when we got married, I still imagine, I picture her walking down the aisle, my beautiful bride dressed in all white with a veil over her head. And here I am. I'm weeping. I'm literally in tears seeing my bride come down. And I thought in that moment, there's no way I could love my wife more than I love her this very moment. And can I be honest with you as a pastor? There have been times in our relationship where I didn't think we were going to make it. There have been several seasons where we kind of just coasted through it, living off of the fumes of the past, remembering our first love, but not renewing that love day to day. There were even a few weeks in 2020 where I know my wife didn't like me and I didn't like her. But I can stand before you today in the presence of God and tell you confidently that the love that I have for my wife today greatly exceeds the love of when I first met her, greatly exceeds the love of our wedding day. I told her several weeks ago, I was like, babe, on that day, I could not have imagined that I would ever love you more than when you were walking down that aisle, but today, I love you more than yesterday. Now, my relationship with God, can I tell you it's taken a similar journey? I remember when I first fell in love with Jesus, when he first found me as a punk teenager, he set me free. He gave me a purpose for living, and all I wanted to do was spend time in the presence of God. I was one of those kids that was in church 7 days a week. I couldn't wait for Sunday service or Wednesday Bible study or Friday night prayer. Like, I just loved being with the people of God and the presence of God, and my prayer was, Lord, whatever you want to do, let it be done in my life. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And I wanted to be in the CIA. I wanted to be in the Air Force and know all the secrets of our country. But I just felt the Holy Spirit convicting me as a young Christian. No, I want you to sacrifice and use your life to serve my people vocationally as a pastor. And this is why I'm a pastor today. Because I said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I will make room for you to do it. But as a pastor, let me be honest with you. There have been several seasons of my relationship with God where I didn't know if I was going to make it. There have been several seasons where I'm living off of fumes of the past and not experiencing his mercies that are new every morning. There were even, like my wife, a few weeks in 2020 where I did not want to talk to God. I was angry, I was upset, I was frustrated with him. But here I am today. As God is my witness, I stand before you to tell you confidently that my love for Jesus has grown over the years. My love for Jesus is greater than when I first surrendered myself to him. Now you might be saying, you're a pastor. You're supposed to love your wife. You're supposed to love God. But I'm imperfect, just like every person in this place. I fail, I falter, I make mistakes, I screw up. But here's what I want you to understand. God has given all of us an opportunity to grow our first love, to fan the flame and to rekindle the fire of our first love. Today, we're starting a new teaching series called Reignite. And over the next 3 weeks, as we head towards Easter, as a church filled with pastors, priests, missionaries, and ministers, people who've been called to connect people to Jesus and one another, we're going to be talking about three spiritual disciplines, three practices that God has given to us that can reignite our first love for him. Over the next 21 days, we're going to talk about the importance of personal devotion to God and his word. We're going to talk about the power that comes from praying. But today, as we begin, I want to talk about a spiritual discipline that maybe a lot of us have heard of, but seldom have we participated in. Today, I want to start this new teaching series by talking about fasting. Say fasting. By show of hands, how many of us know what fasting is? Keep your hand up if you've ever fasted before. Now keep your hand up if you fasted for spiritual reasons, not dietary reasons. See, in our culture today, fasting is fashionable. In fact, I would venture to say that more dietitians and doctors preach about the benefits of fasting more than pastors do. You see it on social media. You see the people that are like, they looks like their abs are Photoshopped in such great health. They say if you can practice and do the right way, intermittent fasting or fasting in your life, it will produce great results in your physical body. That's not the fasting we're talking about today. We're not going to take our cues from culture. I want you to understand that fasting is biblical, but it's also essential. Fasting is essential for a follower of Jesus. And I know typically when we think about fasting in that sense, a lot of us get bored, a lot of us get upset. Why would I want to do that if there's no physical benefit to me? If I won't get in shape, if I don't lose weight? Fasting is just giving up stuff. And I don't want to give up stuff, I want to experience stuff. I want you to write this down. Fasting is not primarily about what we go without, but who we want more of. It's about who we want more of. Do you know that fasting makes us hungry? Duh, of course it does. If I'm not eating, of course I'm hungry. I'm not talking about a hunger for food. I'm not talking about a hunger for Chick-fil-A or Burger King or a fourth meal from Taco Bell. Fasting makes us hungry. It gives us a hunger for the things of God. It makes us hungry for a move of God, for the presence of God. By fasting, by giving up distractions, or oftentimes what is essential to us, it stirs up a deeper love for the things of God in our relationship with God. Now, if you remember at the beginning of this year, in our year of revision, we said that we're going to grow this year, that God is going to stretch us, that God is going to build us, that God is going to multiply what he does in our life. Can I tell you today, we've gone through several months together, and what I want you to understand is if you want to grow into everything God wants you to be, into everything God's created you to be, listen to this, it cannot and it will not happen unless we partake in regular fasting. If we want to grow, we've got to go back to our first love. We've got to make room for the Spirit of God to move and fill. So write this down. Experiencing the presence of God, it requires making room for the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about experiencing the presence of God. It requires us making room for the Spirit of God. And in God's words, in the greatest sermon ever taught, the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to do a whole series this summer on the Sermon of the Mount. But today, I want to share three ways that Jesus gave us to make room so he could fill. Matthew 6:3. Turn to that in your Bibles, in your binders, in your apps. You can follow along on the screen here at home. Matthew 6:3. It says, but when you give, say give. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Matthew 6:6. It says, but when you pray, say pray. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Matthew 6:17-18. It says, but when you fast, say fast. Say it again. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, I want you to notice two things. First of all, Jesus didn't say if. What did he say? When. Not if you give, not if you pray, not if you fast, but when you do it. Why did Jesus say when? Because this is the foundation of a growing relationship. This is the basics. But yet, so many of us, as followers of Christ, we have not put into practice regular fasting. Too many of us, we have not made room for the Spirit of God to fill and to overflow, and this is why we are not experiencing our first love anymore. He says, when you do so. The second thing I want you to notice is that he calls the place where we meet with God a secret place. That word secret in the Greek, it's to describe an upper room. It means set apart. It means covered. It's actually the same word used to describe the place in the book of Acts where the disciples met and waited on the Holy Spirit. It was called the upper room. So this place, this secret place where we experience the presence of God, it is a higher, it is a covered, it is a special place where we meet with God. And if we want to experience intimacy in our relationship with God, if we want to be more than just churchgoers, but sons and daughters of the Most High, and we want to grow in our understanding of his love for us, we need to make room for the Holy Spirit to fill. Say fill. Here's the next big idea. Write this down. God is a filler, not a forcer. He's a filler. He doesn't force. He will not force a relationship upon you. He will not force you to spend time together with him. He will not force you to fast or to pray or to give. He is not a forcer, but he is a filler. And when we make room for him, he fills. And what God fills, I want you to understand this. What God fills, he multiplies. So let's talk about giving. We've talked a lot about it, but he says when you give to God, when you make room in your resources, God will fill it and God will multiply. Do you remember that story we read several weeks ago about the multitude of people who need to be fed and the two loaves and the five fish, the disciples, and that young boy, they gave God what they have and God filled it. God filled the stomachs of all the people in that place and he multiplied it so much so that there was leftover. This is what God does when we make room. He fills and he multiplies. Follower of Christ, I want you to know that the presence of God is with you wherever you go. Amen. He's not just with us right now. He's not just with us at home. When we leave this place, when we go to school, when we're in the boardroom, the Spirit of God is with you wherever you go. But a lot of us, we're not saying amen enthusiastically because we don't feel the Spirit of God with us wherever we go. We don't feel the presence of God with us. And this is why when we make room in our life and we find a secret place to pray to our Heavenly Father, he fills that space. Not only does he fill it, but we feel the effects of that. We feel the effects when we have been with Jesus. People around us notice when we have been in the presence of God. There's this passage in the book of Acts that talks about the disciples, the religious leaders and the Pharisees. They notice the disciples and they say this about them. They were just average, ordinary people, but we've noticed that they have been with Jesus. This is what happens when we make room. People take notice. People understand because they can see on us. They can feel the effects and the overflow of us being in the presence of God. But a lot of us, we know that. This is why today I'm talking about fasting. Fasting is another way that we make room for God to fill. Listen, next week, we're going to talk about the importance of personal devotion in God's word to reignite this relationship. On Palm Sunday, we're going to talk about the importance and the power of prayer. But today we're starting with fasting, because you need to understand that there is a revelation that is given when we make room through fasting. That there is a deeper intimacy when we set aside what we think we need to experience what we really need, the presence of God in our relationship with God. There is a special intimacy and power that we can only experience through fasting. In fact, in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, there are things that you will not be able to accomplish or overcome unless you pray and fast. So if you want to reignite your relationship with God, we have to practice fasting regularly. Now, I want to make this clear as we continue. This isn't legalism. The whole purpose of this teaching series isn't to give us something else we've got to do. Oh, great. Now, not only do I pray and read the Bible, not only do I give and serve, now I got to forsake food, now I got to set aside things. No, it's not that we have to do any of this. God is not a forcer. We get to do it, though, and when we make room, he fills it. We get to be part of what God is doing. We get to experience a deeper intimacy with him. But a lot of us, because we don't put this into practice, we don't experience the overflow. And the reason why a lot of us don't put this into practice is because so many of us, we think of fasting as an Old Testament thing. Because in the Old Testament, we see several passages and several verses of entire nations coming together and fasting in repentance, on their knees in sackcloth with ashes, mourning, oh God, forgive us, forgive us. And we're like, why would we do that? Why would we suffer? Why would we go through all of this, setting aside what God has given us if it's not going to benefit us in any way? We see in Joel chapter 2 and in the book of Jonah that people were fasting primarily to invoke the presence of God, to invoke the wisdom of God, to bring God's favor into their problems. And while where God is, he does have the victory, amen? And while it is true that the battle is not ours, it belongs to the Lord, that greater is he who is with us than he who is in the world, all that's true. But fasting is not primarily about those things. Fasting is not trying to bring the forgiveness of God or the favor of God. God, he wants us to reset our thinking about fasting and for us to understand that it's about reigniting our love relationship with him. Here's how Jesus explains it. Matthew 9:14. It says, and the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom's taken away from them, and then they will fast. Do you remember John the Baptist? His diet consisted primarily of what? Locust and wild honey, the Bible says. He fasted often. I would fast too if all I had was honey-coated locusts. Like, it's disgusting. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to spend my time praying. But his disciples, they followed that example. Our master, our teacher, he fasts often. But Jesus, you don't, and your disciples don't. And he says you're the one who's coming after him, who's sandal strapped. We're not even worthy to untie. How come we fast, but you and your disciples don't? And Jesus gave them the reason. He said, because I'm here. I'm the bridegroom. This is a wedding celebration. This is the celebration of the presence of God coming to be with the people of God. I'm here. They have a relationship with me, the living God. They don't need to mourn. They don't need to make room because I'm already filling this place. And what Jesus was sharing as he told that was that in our Christian walk, there will be seasons of feasting and fasting. You look at the Old Testament, God gives his people several seasons of feasting. But then there's also occasions where they are to fast. So we shouldn't feel bad that we are feasting. We shouldn't feel guilty that we come together and we celebrate the goodness of God and we celebrate all that God is doing in us and through us. The problem is not that we feast often. The problem is that we don't fast often. And both of them are required for healthy Christian living, for a healthy relationship with God. Jesus wasn't saying that we shouldn't fast. Jesus is saying, I'm here. They have a relationship. There's no need to fast. But when I ascend and when I send them my spirit, then they will need to fast to reignite their relationship. Verse 16. He says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment and a worse tear is made. Verse 17, neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skin bursts and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved. Jesus is saying the old way of thinking and the new thing that God wants to do, they do not work together. And this is an important illustration. He gives two illustrations. He talks about people with holes in their jeans and putting a new patch on it. That doesn't work out very well. But then he uses this example of wine going into wineskins. New wine into new wineskins. And this illustration is intentional because what you need to understand is throughout the Bible, oil and wine are used to represent who? The Spirit of God. See, in that time, when they traveled, they didn't carry their wine in bottles with a cork and a label on it like a lot of people do today. That didn't exist yet. Where they carried their wine was in a cloth made of animal skin called a wineskin. And they would pour new wine into a new wineskin. And the reason they would do that is because when the new wine went into the wineskin, as the wine fermented, as it expanded and multiplied, the new wineskin would make room for this expansion. But if you had an old wineskin that was brittle and dry and hardened, when you put the new wine into it and it expanded, there was no room. So the wineskin would crack and break and the wine would be spilled and wasted. I want you to think about how that applies to us as followers of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is not in your heart. I know we pray that in kids' church because we want to teach them about Jesus on their level, but Jesus is not in your heart. Jesus has flesh just like we do. The Bible says that Jesus is currently seated at the right hand of God in heaven. He had a physical body that Philip touched that they broke bread together with and ate. But who is in our hearts? The Holy Spirit. When we are saved, the Bible says we are given the Holy Spirit, the new wine, to fill our lives, a new wineskin. And I want you to hear this. The Spirit of God wants to do a new thing in and through our lives. The Spirit of God has predestined a new work for and through and in our lives for us to experience. His mercies are new every morning. Jesus says, the work that I do, greater works you will do, new things you will do. Why? Because I go to the Father and I give you my new wine. I give you my Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God wants us to experience the presence of God in fresh, new ways every day. But the old way of thinking does not work with a new wine. The old way of thinking, the old wineskins is the old way of living, a hardened heart, and it doesn't make room for what God wants to do. It will not expand to the new thing God wants to produce. So we need a new wineskin. And Jesus says that how we become new wineskins that can make room for whatever he wants to do is when we fast. Fasting gives us a new wineskin. I want to make this very clear when we talk about fasting. Fasting is not, Jesus, forgive me. Fasting is not, God, I want your favor. God, I need your power in this situation. His power will come when we pray. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we place ourselves in the presence of God. But the primary reason for fasting is for us to be reminded of the goodness, of the grace, of the love of God day by day. You know what it's for? It's to fan the flame. It's to keep the fire burning in our hearts. The first love that he put within us, it's to rekindle and to reignite that. Several years ago when I was a youth pastor, we used to do these things every quarter called a strongman weekend. And what a strongman weekend was, we gather a bunch of middle schoolers, and over the course of 2 days and one night, we would teach these young men what we believed every young man should know. So we got, some baseball players and taught them how to catch a ball and hit a ball and throw a ball, how to catch a football and run skirmishes. We taught them how to fix a leaky toilet, to install cabinets, to change the oil in a car, to fix a flat tire. We taught them how to shoot a bow and arrow, how to cook on the Caja China. We taught them how to grill a perfect steak every single time. But at one of these strongman weekends, what we wanted to do was teach them how to start a fire. So I gathered all the middle school boys together and I said, men, listen, there's three things required to start a fire. You need fuel, you need heat, and you need oxygen. And so they went around and they gathered little dry sticks and they brought them to me, and I got one of the sticks and I shaved it down. I had some kindling and I took two of the sticks and I began to rub them together, and as friction happened and heat was produced, it began to smoke. And so I was blowing from the smoke and what I was producing onto the kindling, a little flame caught, the kindling caught on fire, and now the fire is blazing and burning. And in that moment, all these young men thought I was awesome. They're like, he's Bear Grylls. He can do anything. I'm like, no, I learned how to do this 3 days ago. Like, it took a lot of practice. But they thought I was awesome because now I had created a space for us, a fire for us to talk around, to worship together. And so for the rest of the evening, by the way, it was a middle school thing, which means those boys did not go to sleep. It was like, I always wondered, why am I doing this? Why am I staying up for 36, 48 hours? And so these young boys, they would not go to sleep. They wanted to continue to talk around the fire. And around like 3 o'clock in the morning, the fire is beginning to die. So I see some of these young men, they're going and they're just looking for any sort of piece of wood that they can find. And they're throwing it on top of the fire, thinking that that is going to sustain the fire, when in reality, it was smothering the fire. So I realized I need to teach them the second part of this lesson. I gathered them together. I said, young men, do you remember the three things required to start a fire? Yes. It's fuel, it's heat, it's oxygen. Those three things are the same things needed to sustain the fire. We already have the fuel. There's already wood there. We already have the heat. The fire's already burning. What are we missing? The oxygen. And so I showed them how to literally fan the flame. Because when you fan a flame, what you're doing is you're inserting oxygen into the fire. And the more oxygen a fire has, the more combustion happens. And if there's a fire that is dwindling down, that has died, fanning the flame will actually reignite it and cause it to burn again brighter and hotter and longer. Church, the fuel that we need to keep the fire burning is the Word of God. It's His living and active and powerful Word. Everything we need to survive is found in here. The heat that keeps the fire burning is the power of God that we receive from prayer. But we can't miss what so many of us miss. And that is what? The oxygen. The air that we breathe that fills our lungs. The breath of the Spirit of God that comes through fasting is what so many of us, we forget. We can come to church like you're here today. We can read the Bible. We can be on a plan. We can worship God. We can be generous. We can serve. But all of us, Jesus wants to go to a secret place with us and reveal His love and His grace for us to depend on Him alone. And that only comes in a place of fasting. Spiritually, we need the Spirit of God to breathe fresh on us every single day. Spiritually, we need the wind of God, His Holy Spirit, to fan the flame, to remind us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, to empower us, to point us to the love and the grace of God day by day. And the reason we need this is because I look around. And the story that I shared in the beginning of service is how a lot of us feel if we're honest. We're tired. You're here at church today, but your heart is not here. Spring Forward, I don't know if I'm going to make it on time, so you're worshiping online. We're glad that you're watching with us, but your heart is far from Him. And you're tired, and you're exhausted. And in your mind, there's a spiritual fog. The things that used to convict your heart has now become desensitized to. And now your walk with Christ is on autopilot. And instead of operating in passion and intentionality, it's what I do. And so many of us, we've lost our first love. We can't remember the last time we were overwhelmed by the presence of God. And if that describes you, I have good news. God has given every one of us a way to reignite our first love, to reignite and rekindle our relationship. And that's taking time, going to a secret place, sacrificing what we think is important to receive what is most important, life in our relationship with God. I know that what we're talking about today isn't exciting. I know that for some of you, like, I want to be encouraged. I want to be inspired. Telling me I need to sacrifice something is not what I anticipated to receive today. But can I tell you that when we make room, God always fills. He always multiplies. And we will find that everything that our heart and our soul desired is found in the presence of God. In our year of revision, this 2024, we're committing to fast regularly as a church. It's not just these 21 days. We're going to do it several other times this year. My question is, will you be a part of it? You're not forced to. It's not if you don't fast, you can't serve. You don't fast, you can't be part of it. No, we don't got to. We get to. But will you be a part of it? Will you make room for what the Spirit of God wants to do so you can experience the overflow of a relationship with Him? Today, like Pastor Johnny said, we're starting our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Over the next 21 days, we have 21 prayer points. You can find them in our app and on social media. Some of you are familiar with this because we've done this several times before, but starting this Wednesday as well, for the next three Wednesdays, we're going to open this place up. And from 6:30 to about 7 to 7:10, we're going to come together. We're going to worship together. We're going to be encouraged by God's word. We're going to pray over these things. We're going to pray and fast to make room for whatever He wants to do. And I know not everyone can come, but I would encourage you, what would God do? What would God reveal? How would your relationship with God grow if you made room to meet Him? I pray that you put it into practice and see how God works in and through you. As we conclude, there's always two questions that we ask, and those two questions are what? All right, everyone besides Aaron. Thank you, Aaron. Good job. Anyone else? What are the two questions we always ask? You guys know that very well. Because you know that very well, I'm going to give you the cheat sheet. Three things as we close today. Three next steps to reignite our relationship through fasting. The first one, say prepare. Prepare to recommit. As we fast regularly to grow our relationship, I want to encourage us to articulate why we're fasting, to give a reason why we're fasting. Yes, we will meet with God. Yes, He will fill and multiply, but He wants us to have an intention for why we are meeting with Him. What do we hope God to grow in our lives as we seek His presence and His face? For some people, it might be, Lord, I need strength to overcome this sin that I am in. God, I need your wisdom and your power to be set free from this addiction. Maybe for you, it's a time of repentance. Maybe for you, it's a time of intercession for those in your family that do not love the Lord. Lord, give me a white hot love for you that will make me unashamed to invite them. But I would encourage you to prepare to commit, to articulate why you're fasting. And not only will it help you to keep your commitment, but it'll motivate you to see it through. See, we don't grow to a commitment. We grow from a commitment. We say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I need your strength. I need your help. I need your overflow in my life. And the Bible tells us that we will reap a harvest in due season if we don't what? If we don't lose heart, if we don't give up. So we need to prepare to commit. Second thing, say plan. Plan on purpose. I want to make this very practical and spiritual. Here's what I mean. Don't decide day to day what you're going to do. Decide in advance. Commit before you fast and be determined. Decide on what type of fasting you're going to do and the duration of how long it's going to take place and what practices that you are going to participate in as you are fasting. Are you going to come Wednesday? Plan for that. Are you going to fast for one meal? Plan to make room for Him during that time. What kind of fasting can we do? There's several types of fasting. Many of you who maybe have never fasted before, maybe you just want to fast one meal. Or maybe you want to fast a day of meals, or you have a liquid diet that day, or you're drinking water throughout that day. That's the most popular fast. It's an all-day fast. It's from sun up to sundown. Well, maybe for Spring Forward, we got to change that because, again, it gets dark like at, 2:30 p.m., from when I wake up to when I go to sleep. Lord, I'm committing this day to you. Some of you, not out of compulsion, but as the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart, some of you, maybe you're saying, Lord, I want to spend a few days with you. Can I just encourage you practically to seek a physician first? See, fanning a flame, it can rekindle a fire. But if you do it wrong, it can actually put the fire out. You can blow the ash. You can put too much oxygen that it overwhelms the fire. And some of you are like, you know what? I want to fast for 40 days. I want to be like Jesus. And you've never fasted a meal in your life. Don't do that. That is dumb. You will take yourself out. We have to plan. Some of you, listen, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart, but if you're honest with yourself, you cannot physically fast food. You have a dietary restriction or a medical condition where you need to consume calories every single day. Can I encourage you? There are other things that you can fast. And if we're honest, a lot of us probably need to fast in these ways as well that get rid of distractions. Why? Because they are the distractions. Some of you, maybe the Holy Spirit's going to put on your heart, I want you to fast social media. I want you to stop doom scrolling and spend your time fixated and focused on me. Some of you, maybe there's a show that you really want to watch on Netflix, but you know I got to binge it. It's time away from my family. It's time away from my church. It's time away from my God. Maybe you're going to fast television. All these distractions, we put them aside. It can help us focus on our relationship with God. But let me encourage you with this. Fasting is not I'm doing this, I'm sacrificing this to get more from God. Fasting is I'm putting aside what is important, even essential, so I can have what is absolutely necessary. That is my relationship with God to grow. So if you choose to fast media or television, don't binge watch it the day that you end your fast. Because what just happened is the space, the room that you made, you're now filling it with things that will never satisfy. Let me make this even more practical. Planning involves preparing your calendar, limiting your physical activities. Don't plan things that revolve around food. Just so you know what mine is, Wednesday is my day of preparation. I'm already praying and reading God's word. And so instead of taking a lunch break, I'm going to fast all day Wednesday. Plus, we're praying and fasting on Wednesday, so I can kill multiple birds with one stone. But I'll tell you what I'm not going to do on Wednesday. I'm not going to schedule a date with my wife. Hey, love, I love you. Go ahead and eat. I'm just going to sit here and watch you. No, don't schedule a meeting on the time that you're going to fast. Conserve your energy. Take things slow. Make sure you make room for God's word and for prayer. It's not just not eating. It's putting aside the eating and the distractions to spend time in the presence of God. That's the whole point. Let me be real practical and then we'll move to the final one. Sleeping all day is not fasting. I'm guilty of that. Sleeping all day may be good for your body, but it doesn't make room for the Holy Spirit of God. The goal is not to get through it. The goal is to be in it. The goal is to let those hunger pains or that desire to check what's happening in Instagram land and use those desires to grow a hunger for God. Lord, I'm hungry right now, and I'm reminded as my stomach's growling, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray through this. I'm going to pray, Lord, that I experience your presence, that I have confidence for what you've called me to do. God, I'm not going to compare to what I see on social media. I have this desire. I heard there's some news, and Lord, I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to hear your voice. Would you speak to me? That leads to the last thing. Pray. Pray with expectancy. Pray intentionally. Pray thoughtfully as you partake in fasting. I want to make this real clear. God may not answer all your prayers when you fast. He may not. He may not give you everything that you're seeking. It may take some time. He doesn't promise that in fasting, you'll get what you want. But what he does promise is what we all need. He promises he will meet us there. He promises that his presence will be in that secret place as we set aside what is a distraction, what is a crutch, to receive hope and life from him. I pray that as you pray and fast and spend time in his promises, that you would experience a relationship with God like never before. That you can stand before your family and your friends and God and say, Lord, I love you more today than I did when you first saved me. Thank you. I'm more aware of your presence with me. I'm more grateful for your provision over my life. This is what God wants to grow as we seek his face and as we make room.
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.